Together with American Songwriter, we had the opportunity to talk to Griff Claussen over Zoom video. Griff talked about being born and raised in Southern California, still living in Los Angeles. Talked about getting his very first guitar, an acoustic guitar from Bed Bath & Beyond. I didn't realize that they even sold guitars. Started doing the singer-songwriter thing, coffee shops, ended up going to UCLA. That's where he kind of built his musical network. He sang on a bunch of EDM and DJ records. Now he's pursuing his solo career. He has a rad music video out for his most recent song, Chasing High. So check that out. And you can watch our interview with Griff and myself on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Griff Claussen. So this podcast is on your journey in music and how you got to where you are now.
I love it.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to ask where you're based, but I heard you talking about the view, I think.
Oh, San Diego.
Oh, nice. I love
where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Okay. It was just like 20 minutes ago, it was just downpouring here.
It has been raining, like, I would say cats and dogs, but it sounds more like elephants and horses or something. It's been
It's been nuts. And even the other day, I don't know if you got it up there, but it was hailing like massive chunks.
I saw in Malibu, it snowed. But
really? It snowed?
I saw like videos of friends posting like first time in like, I don't know, 60 years that it snowed in Malibu. It didn't snow where I live, but it's been raining like crazy.
Yeah, it's been nuts here. It snowed like once in San Diego, and I remember it was on Valentine's Day. Like, I was in like fourth grade, maybe third or fourth grade, and like we went to school late so you could like see it. Like, it was, you know, so minuscule. It was like melting as it was landing, but it was a big deal when it happened.
It's just fun. It's just like cool because it never happens, you know?
Right, right. That's awesome. So you're in LA. Are you originally from Los Angeles?
Born and raised in SoCal, like kind of the Orange County area.
Okay, right on.
Yeah, so, but I have like family in LA. So I've been like back and forth, like just, you know, getting to know LA and like visiting them like my whole life. So I feel like it's kind of home, you know what I mean?
Sure, sure, sure. That's cool. That's really cool. How'd you get into music?
I got a guitar for Christmas, I think when I was like 11 or 12, and I just kind of picked it up and fell in love with it. We do Christmas even though we're Jewish, and it was just kind of like a fun thing that I got as a gift. And then I just ran away with it. Like, I took guitar lessons for maybe a year and a half, 2 years max. But after that, just kind of started writing songs at like the age of 13. And
wow.
I don't know. I just like, it just felt natural. I wasn't like pursuing it at that age, obviously. I just kind of started it, and you know,
but writing songs, your own songs at 13, that's really awesome.
I think honestly it was kind of more out of like laziness of not wanting to learn other people's songs.
I've heard this story before. I think it's hilarious. Like, I don't feel like learning other people's stuff, so I'm just gonna make up my own things.
Right. I mean, like, I don't know, it works. So if you like writing it, then, you know, why not, you know?
Sure. Well,
how I started
with that at 13, when you're writing those songs, was it just on acoustic guitar?
It's just a little acoustic guitar, I think, from like Bed Bath and Beyond. So it was just
they used to sell guitars.
I mean, I didn't know they sold everything, but they're like a little Walmart, you know, they just have everything you could ever need.
That's hilarious. I've never seen a guitar in Bed Bath and Beyond, but that's amazing.
I don't have it anymore. I wish I still had it. It'd be kind of funny to, like, you know, look at like the labeling on the inside, like guitar from Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Well, at like when you're writing these songs, did you have like a goal? Like, were you playing live for people? Like, were you showing anyone these songs?
I started showing, obviously, my family the songs, and they were like, this doesn't suck. You know,
right.
They weren't like, you should not do that. You know, I mean, they were supportive, and they've been super supportive ever since. But I think at maybe like 15, 14, I started playing coffee shops and just like
open mic nights,
exactly. Because, like, I don't know, people kept encouraging, like, you know, what I was doing, even though I wasn't really doing it at that time, if that makes sense. Uh-huh.
No, sure.
Writing songs. And my high school actually had like a garage band thing, not the software, but like a kind of like a garage band program.
Like class?
Like, it was kind of a class. Yeah,
that's rad.
Really cool. It was an elective, so like it was like one of those classes that like it could be like pottery or something else. You know,
right,
I mean?
Right. You could just get it's something for credits, so to speak. But like having a exactly. band class, like a legit band class.
Exactly.
I've never
exactly.
heard of that before.
It was interesting because, like, you know, you put 13 kids in a room with instruments and it's going to be a little chaotic.
But like, did they have like rock kit? Like, it was like a drum kit, bass, guitars, and like a PA?
It was the whole thing.
Wow. Did you like start a band with those kids that you were playing in that class with?
Not really. I mean, we did stuff for the class, you know, learning songs and playing it together and trying to get it, you know, sounding like a decent little ensemble. And we had like a semi-annual concert at the school every year.
Oh, cool.
So we got to like perform that, but that was just, I think being in that environment kind of helped like show me like, you know, you could actually like perform for people or
right.
you know, here, do this there. And, you know, that was another form of encouragement. Cause like, I feel like a lot of artists and songwriters get encouragement from their family for
sure.
But then outside of that is kind of an important step to like being, you know, oh, I should maybe go to the coffee shop and see if I can
pursue it.
Just see what other people think, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's cool with the performances in that class. I'm just curious it was all covers or did people perform original songs?
That was all covers. And I think I remember I can kind of look back and remember that I was like less interested in the covers and more interested in just making things.
Mm-hmm.
Probably again out of laziness and not wanting to learn other people's songs.
Right. But were you the singer and guitar player in the band?
I did. I sang and played guitar in the band. Yeah. Yeah.
That's because you have a great voice, man. I'm sure you were like miles ahead of everybody else in your class.
I mean, there was a lot of talent in the class. I mean, everybody's got their own unique style, whether it's guitar or vocals or whatever. And I guess, sure. you know, ever since then, people have dug mine as far as the music goes and stuff, which is just the craziest and most fortunate thing. But yeah,
that's awesome. Well, from that band or from that class and playing coffee shops, what was the next step for you creatively?
I think creatively I got like I tried to learn to produce myself.
Okay.
And it didn't really go so well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I was like, I don't know, 16 at the time, so I couldn't really learn how to like produce this song. So my mom helped me get like a recording studio and have somebody like try to track the guitar and the vocals and make it all sound pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a couple songs that, you know, sounded like something, but it was nothing that I would ever like want to show somebody.
Release.
I mean, some people still ask me like, what happened to those things that you had on like SoundCloud years ago? But I think they're in the vault for now.
Sure. So that's where it started. You were putting songs up on SoundCloud?
I think it honestly might've been iTunes back then, like literally uploading it and then having the price be like $1 or $1.29.
Oh, right. Okay.
But yeah, that's kind of where that started like the next step creatively. And then I went to UCLA for school.
Okay. Not
for music, but I just kept doing music, you know, like playing the school talent show, which was in front of like 10,000 people every year.
Wow. 10,000?
Yeah, just doing like all the things that I could, honestly, while I was still pursuing an education, obviously. But I think it was like my maybe junior year at UCLA that I met some people that kind of showed me how to turn it into a career.
Okay.
Into a life, you know, beyond like just writing and playing like every couple of weeks and not taking it too seriously.
Were these like other people who went to the school or just people you met outside of going to UCLA?
People I met outside. Yeah. So I actually took a trip to Nashville. I think it was my sophomore or junior year. And there met some people that kind of opened some doors for me and kind of taught me like, or not taught me, but showed me how like they had made lives out of music, you know?
Right. I've heard the story of people going my family's moving to Nashville in like 2 weeks, but people, did you go there with a purpose or did you like with knowing people, like everyone's like, I just went to Nashville. And then it's like, I feel like you just show up there and then what do you do?
It's such a cliche story. And like, you could never go there expecting something, but I feel like there are so many stories where somebody goes there and something happens.
Right, right. That's what I'm curious. Like, well, did you have like a connection or a contact there, I guess is my question.
So I met somebody while I was playing at a rooftop bar in Santa Monica when I was like 15.
And okay.
We just kind of kept in touch forever. And eventually they introduced me to somebody who worked in Top 40 Radio in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of like set up a couple meetings with publishers out there and a couple of sessions and
okay.
A couple of gigs as well. And at one of the gigs, I met somebody who like was like kind of like a big brother, turned into a big brother kind of role for me and introduced me to other songwriters and like wrote a song with me. And
it was
like
one of my
first like sessions in LA.
That's awesome.
He invited me to a writing camp in Italy and just kind of like from all that stuff that happened in Nashville, like the music, I decided, you know, I'm at UCLA studying things, but I don't know if I'm going to take the degree and try to go look for a job after school.
Sure. Did you end up finishing at UCLA?
Yeah, no, I finished.
Oh, right on. And so you, all while pursuing this dream of a music career. And then how do you get hooked up? Like, were you putting music out on your own prior to, you know, working with all these DJ and EDM artists, right? Because you sing on a bunch of their records.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really realize like how much fun that would be until I started doing it. And, you know, until I started collaborating with other artists and writers and DJs. But like that obviously has turned into a large part of my career so far, you know? Mm-hmm.
So what, how did you, that's, you just met them networking?
I think I met some networking, some reached out, you know, over SoundCloud or Instagram. Somebody, you know, will just send you a text like, hey, you should work with my friend who like, you know, works on Ableton, like, or just does all these cool things. And I'm like, oh, that sounds so cool. You know, 6 years ago.
Right. And then you would just do whatever, you know, kind of just do work as you could. I mean, as far as like saying yes to everything, so to speak.
Pretty much. I mean, I think it's hard to like be so hungry and also want to like figure out what your like strong suit is and what your style is. Mm-hmm. So like, you want to say yes to as many things, but also not like dilute what you're doing.
Sure.
And it's a fine line that I'm still kind of like, excuse me, like mm-hmm. balancing on, you know, because there's so many, you know, you could work, you know, 16 hours a day and find more opportunities, but it's not always, you know, worth either party's time, you mm-hmm. know?
Right. Right. That makes sense.
So yeah, I think in the last year, it's been a lot about kind of finding the people that I really connect with and the songs that mean the most to work on, like even like to give to other people or to help with, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, totally. Was that like, cause working with other artists and DJs and stuff and singing on their records, were you always still pursuing your own like solo career at that point, or was it just kind of collaborating and working with them?
Yeah, it was kind of both. Like the vocal feature thing and the working with DJs thing really kind of helped launch like me as a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying I'm any big name at the moment or yet.
But, dude, you got a lot of streams, man, on Spotify. So don't sell yourself short.
I'm a worse critic. I look at the stars and I like think that's, you know.
Yeah, you're like, oh, well, Halsey has a billion plays on that one song. It's like, well, yeah, of course she does.
And now she's pregnant, which is
I know.
Cool. But anyways, we were talking about, oh yeah, my artist project. So like while I was doing the feature stuff, or at least mostly doing that, I was still writing stuff that felt like it could only be for me, mm-hmm. as I feel like a lot of songwriters and other vocalists and artists do. And we just kind of held on to those songs, like my team and I, and waited for the right time to start kind of shifting the focus from exclusively feature to like, you know, trying to do some that align with the artist project, but also focusing on the artist project, which is kind mm-hmm. of really the main thing that I'm working on at the moment.
Very cool. Yeah, I just watched the video earlier for Chasing Highs. It's such a rad video. Like the zombies and I'm sorry.
I said it was so fun. I just love that video.
Yeah, it's so cool. Well, tell me where you were when like coronavirus hit and how did that affect your musical career?
I mean, it's been, I feel like, you know, it's been the craziest time for everybody, obviously.
Sure.
You know, for so many reasons, like happy, sad, everything in between. I think, well, just for me, like I signed a publishing deal like a week before the whole thing kind of blew up.
Wow. Okay. Well, tell me about the publishing deal. How did that happen before we get to this coronavirus?
Another long story short, one of the guys I met in Italy ended up linking me to somebody who managed a DJ that wanted a song I had written. And then he ended up being interested in me because, you know, we just got along.
You wrote the song.
Wrote the song. We got along well. And then we just started talking and we liked the vibe and we had the same kind of vision. And we decided to make it official and put a ring on it.
That's cool. Right on. So that happened, you said, a week prior to COVID?
I think it was like, honestly, like a week. Yeah, not a lot of time.
And then like, and so this is in March when this happens?
Yeah.
And did you have like big, did you have like a rollout plan or a bunch of songs you're going to put out like throughout the course of 2020 with shows, or how did that work?
For 2020, the plan was more and ended up still being more focused on songwriting.
Okay.
I was developing out, you know, that side of what I do and getting to meet new people and just really diving in, because it was like kind of my first and a half year of like really full time being a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the main focus for 2020, and it ended up still being, just obviously in a different format.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So you were home and you signed this deal and then coronavirus hits, and do you spend like the past year just writing and writing and writing and writing? Like what?
Writing, producing, Zoom sessions, a lot of Zoom.
How is that? Interesting.
It's interesting. It's sometimes super, super awesome. Cause like when, like there's a couple people that I work with in particular that when we're working on Zoom, like there's no distractions. Like when you're in the room, like you can say, oh my God, like, do you want to go get, you know, a snack, or like,
right. I go to the bathroom or I got to do this. Yeah.
Or wine or whatever.
Right. Like, I got to go smoke a cigarette or yeah, whatever.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I don't smoke, but
neither do I, but I know that that's a thing when you're in those studios.
Exactly. So like for some of those people that I work with, like you end up getting a really cool experience and product out of it. Cause uh-huh. It feels like really, really refined, you know, like just focused. Like I'm looking at the screen, you're looking at the screen, we're just writing a song, you know? But sure. Then obviously like, there are sometimes like when you're meeting somebody new that it can be just difficult to get that same connection that you would like in person, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. It's, so you're not able to vibe as much off of them because it's through a computer screen or.
Naturally. I mean, yeah. I feel like it's the same way with like online dating right now. It's like like I'm not zooming people that I'm interested in dating, but like if I were to be, I would imagine it's not quite the same as like going out with somebody.
Right Exactly. Like okay, have a Zoom date. That's pretty funny. I haven't thought about that one yet.
Maybe that's something that we should start trying to do.
Right Well, so you've released a few like Leave Me Low and You and Me Now. Those are your songs, right?
Yeah, my songs with Duvall, and then one is Duvall and Manila Killer.
Okay. And then the most recent one, Chasing Highs, that's just you, correct?
Yeah, you're
okay.
Right.
Okay. And is that going to be, is that the only song that you've put out recently that's just you on it?
That's the first single. It's the only one that's just me right now.
Okay.
I already remixed that one, actually.
Yeah, I did see that. That's rad. Yeah. I loved the original version and the video as well. Like, tell me about that song and why you chose that as the like lead single.
It just, again, like with this artist project and the songs, like it all, one thing I wanted to stress with, you know, myself, for myself and like with my team, was just that it would be natural and not forced.
Mm-hmm.
And not like overthought, if that makes sense. Cause I know it's
sure.
So easy to spend like a year thinking about how to release a song or this or that. And like, you know, you get bogged down by it, you spend too much time on it, and then, you know, a year later, you're like, I don't even love the song anymore.
Right, I'm over it at this point, sure.
Yeah, exactly. So we'd been like, not collecting, but like, you know, holding onto a few songs that felt really good for me and felt really like me. And then my buddy Johan was in LA from Sweden, and we wrote Chasing Highs, and we were like, this really feels like only me, feels like something we are going to like in a year, and we should just put it out. So that song actually kind of started the whole train. Like, was the snowball it turned into the avalanche a little bit, and
Okay.
motivated us to get the project rolling and to just start putting out the songs that we have been keeping, on our hard drives for so long.
Right. Well, with Ch after Chasing Highs, are you going to put out like, I mean, you obviously have more songs, but is there going to be like a full EP, or are you going to put a record out? What are you thinking?
I don't know if it'll be an EP or not, but we have or I have my next single, Too Lovely, coming out on the 3rd, which is this coming Wednesday.
Awesome.
Super excited about that one.
What's that one sonically like? Is it similar to Chasing Highs?
It's similar in the sense that like it feels there's like some acoustic elements, like it's a very piano driven song,
Oh, rad. The other one's just pretty much acoustic guitar, right? And you?
really, really heavy acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And then I think though that one is kind of different in that it's like more like James Blake, Bon Iver inspired.
Oh, cool. Really cool.
It's a little bit more like, I don't know, my take on like progressive singer songwriter, if you will,
Yeah.
because I did that one all by myself, and it just feels like a really true like kind of like testament to myself and what I do. But
That's amazing.
really excited for that one. The music video is coming out a week later, and
Awesome.
yeah, it's gonna
Well,
be.
I love the video that you did, like I said earlier, for Chasing Highs. Were you able to shoot that during the lockdown and everything?
We did that during COVID. We did it as safely as possible. Everybody had masks on, distance, outdoors, like
Yeah.
got tested. Like, did obviously, I know people have different opinions about whether that's, kosher or not, but we were okay with it and everybody was okay with it. And it was a lot of fun to make. It was just one day of shooting, like 7 to 7, 12 hours straight.
Wow. What
Makeup.
about?
The makeup was crazy to put
Yeah,
on.
I was gonna say, was that your face looked gnarly in the thing?
Yeah, that was actually just me with no coffee. They didn't have to put any makeup.
That's awesome. Well, the video, where'd you guys shoot that? That looks like it looked like the devil, what, Devil's Rejects, what,
Just like some kind of crazy movie
like
scene.
some Rob Zombie, yeah, movie scene.
It felt like that. It was actually in Topanga in like close to Malibu. I don't know if
Oh,
you're.
sure. Yeah, I know Topanga.
There's like a canyon there, and we found an Airbnb that we rented for, I think, the day. And then
Okay.
we had, the crew there, and the makeup crew, and the storyline written out, and we just got it done.
Amazing. Yeah, it's great. And then what about the second video you have coming out? Is
The
can you tell
second
us anything about the one that you have coming out in a couple of weeks?
looks very different from the first one.
Okay.
First, like the
Yeah,
one was shot on a 16mm film. So it kind of gave it that like Wes Anderson, like
right.
old school feel to it. The second one was actually shot in this room, in my bedroom. And
Wow.
we had like a lot of really cool visual effects going on. And there's like an interesting storyline there as well. I don't want to give like too
Yeah,
much away,
sure. But
but it's really colorful, really like expressive. And I think it fits the song really well.
I love that. I can't wait to see it. And
Thank
thank
you.
you so much for doing this today. I really appreciate it.
Really appreciate you having me. I love talking about this stuff.
Awesome, man. Well, tell me, I have one more question for you. Do you have any advice for aspiring artists?
My advice to anybody in anything creative, not that I can speak for like painting or anything, but like my advice for anybody trying to pursue songwriting or an artist career is kind of the same advice that I give to myself every day, or at least try to give to myself, which is like you just have to be authentic and make sure that it connects with you, because it's really, really easy to look at what other people are doing and try to copy it or try to beat it. And it's very frustrating when it doesn't work because it's not you,
Sure.
And I think like as long, not as long as, but like when you find something that you connect with and that feels like true to yourself, it ends up being good. And other people resonate with it, ironically enough, because like the most unique things to yourself end up speaking to other people in some weird way. So I think that's like my advice.